You're dancing? Judy Patrick is here, and she's dancing.
She's quite a dancer.
This is wonderful. It's the round table panel. It's very informal, and we just get together and we chat about things that we know a little bit about. Our panel today is Alan Shartok, who is our own president and political observer and a wonderful human being. Also, associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain, is here, who is also a beautiful human being, and a really beautiful human being is Judy Patrick, the editor of the Daily Gazette. They're all on the panel today, and it's a beautiful day. The email is panel, and that's enough optimism for today. It's about time to start the panel. The email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, and if you haven't heard the news, we got a fun drive Monday at 6 a.m., and boy, am I looking forward to it.
That's funny. Okay, so
that's your cue.
Thank you. I got it. So we have raised, Mr. Miyoto, we have raised $473,055, which means we have about 27,000. Is that right? 26 and a half.
All right. Without doing the math, what exactly are we trying to do here in the lockbox?
Well, we need to raise $500,000. The Spitzer Foundation said that they would give us $25,000 when we did this. All I can say to everybody out there is that we have 400,000 listeners to WAMC every month. That's what we have, 400,000 listeners.
Wonderful human beings all.
They exactly. are, Judy.
Exactly.
Judy, they
Talk
are.
That theme.
And I thank them because they are such special people. Who say when they meet me on the street, they love the station, they love the panel, they're all here. And then we have a lot of people, 400,000, and we have less than 20,000 members, to the paying members to WMC. Mm. And we have a president of the United States who just took us out of the Paris agreements. And we have the leak from Steve Bannon saying that what he's concerned about is that Trump wins the next election, which means he has to keep the people, the true believers, and basically the hell with everybody else. And what about our children? What about our grandchildren? What about smog? What about all of that stuff? It's beyond, I mean, I woke up depressed this morning about this whole thing. And then I remembered we have a radio station that really does not only speak truth to power, but speaks on all sides of every issue so that people can hear it for themselves. You know, I had people calling me up and saying, I don't want to hear John Faso on the radio. He shouldn't be on my radio station. And I say, no, not as long as I breathe the breath, not as long as I'm here, he will be treated well, he'll come, he'll give his side, and you're smart, and you can discern whether or not he should have been voting for that health care bill, and we'll ask him about it, and so should everybody else. That's the point. The point is that on a great radio station, you hear it all, and we're going to do that, and we're going to keep doing that, and we're going to keep talking about Paris, and we're going to keep talking about grandchildren, and we're going to keep talking about the way this whole thing is unfolding, and the Russian connection. It's so depressing, I can't even believe that we have done this. I keep pinching myself and say, Alan, wake up. This is so, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe in this radio station, if you know how essential it is, whether you're a member or whether you're not a member, become a member right now. Pick up a phone. Dial 1-800-323-9262.
Don't look at those numbers. That's the box pop
that's the
number
wrong
up there.
Numbers,
yeah.
1-800-323-9262 and then say, I'm in. Now, we need, by the end of this program, that's an hour and a half from now, a little less, we need, $23,000. That's what we need, and we have the $500,000 in the lockbox. That's what we'll have.
Yeah, about 27. A little under 27.
27, is that
yeah.
what it is?
Yep. So, and you can do it at WAMC.org, right?
Major in math?
No.
Okay.
But I'm used to back-timing records.
Oh, I see.
So if you had 220 and you had a Buckingham's record, you got to hit the news at the top of the hour, the box tops. You know what I mean?
I do.
I can do the quick math.
And so here we are. We only have an hour and a half to do it in. If we can do it in this hour and a half, I will just say thank you to everybody who does something, whether it's $5 or $1,000, and it's all there.
And then how much money will you have to raise on Monday?
$500,000.
No, actually not.
A little less.
$475,000.
Right. And so if you recall, last fund drive, we did this, and we made our goal, and we had a one-day fund drive. And then we were back to programming the next day. And, of course, late that afternoon on Monday, we all started scrambling, saying, oh, my God, we got to get a show together. We're used to 8-day fund drives, 12-day fund drives. You do something like this, and it's a 1-2-day fund drive.
Well,
it's amazing.
Well, I can only hope that you speak directly to the heavens when you say something like that. Because it's certainly possible we'll be here in 7 days or in 6 days. Who knows whether people have given up and say, oh, come on, Trump is there now. And so he gets us out of the Paris Accords to the shame of the rest of the world and the rest of it. Oh, come on, it's the new normal. Suppose he says that and suppose, let me give you an example. Remember all the women's march at the beginning? I was there in New York City. You couldn't get, blocks and blocks and blocks, millions of people. It was unbelievable. Not so much anymore. I think people to some degree are giving up. And that under the new normal, and it is something that really does bother me. So 1-800-323-9262, hit zero and just give us some money and get this thing over with. It'll be great.
Or go to WAMC.org. Speaking of getting this thing over with, let's do a panel. And we'll talk about the Paris Accords, and we'll talk about many things today. And
right.
And we'll do that right after we take a quick break. So nice. Rob Ciccone, our engineer, has picked today Rex Stewart. The album Boy Meets Horn. So we have some nice bumper music on the program. A lot to talk about on the panel today. Ray Graff in for Joe. We have Judy Patrick, Mike Spain, and Alan Shartok on the panel. And you as well, panel at WAMC.org. Remember, try to keep the letters brief. Try not to include links as we cannot click them on air. Don't use abbreviations. And just do a quick proofread before you send it our way at panel at WAMC.org. President Trump says the U.S. could try to re-enter the international climate agreement sealed in Paris if the deal were more favorable to Americans. Trump indicated that's not really a priority as he explained why he was pulling the U.S. out of the Paris Accord in a Rose Garden announcement yesterday. The president framed the decision as one made in the best interest of his country. Many allies expressing alarm over the decision. France, Germany, and Italy joined to note with regret the Trump decision and express doubts about any change in the accord. Several of Trump's top aides reportedly also opposed the action, including his daughter Ivanka. Three Democratic governors say they won't let the U.S. back away from the agreement. We had Jerry Brown of California, Jay Inslee of Washington State, and our own Andrew Cuomo of New York, forming the U.S. Climate Alliance to uphold the Paris Climate Agreement. Governor Cuomo says the decision by Trump is reckless and damaging to the country and the planet.
Well, I've already had my say. Mike, you go next.
Oh, okay. Well, it certainly was an America First speech. And to his audience, and I'm not just saying the 30, 35, 40%, whatever that number is of the strong base, but to Republicans and to people in business, this speech sounded very positive for them. If you say, why should the United States give up billions of dollars and millions of jobs over the next 15 years? And that's what Trump claims will happen if we stay and honor the Paris Accord. This was music to their ears, and the stock market shot up afterwards. So to his base and to his audience, this was a very positive speech. To others, obviously, people like Elon Musk and Jeffrey Immelt, the big business leaders, it was a mistake. And they argue that the global warming is true. It's really a problem. It's going to affect us down the road. It's going to affect our children and grandchildren. And it's going to cost us a lot. And you need to be working together as a world to avert disaster.
And what about leadership, Mike? What about world leadership on this incredibly important problem?
I think that's the key here. Yeah. What the practical impact of it will be determined. There are some questions about whether what real impact, but it's this idea that the U.S. is abdicating its role
in NATO, in global warming, you name it. We're pulling away, and then there's the Russian thing. So whether or not this is helpful to the Russians.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should have been surprised by this announcement. It was coming down the track. You could see it for miles, and the speech itself was very reminiscent of his inaugural speech. I thought.
Mm-hmm. And the campaign. And it picked up a lot of the rhetoric of the campaign. I mean, it was aimed to charge up his base. They say it was a big victory for Bannon.
It was a big victory for Bannon.
Over many others in the White House, including the president's daughter Ivanka, who urged him not to come out against the accord, the Paris Accord. And the only drama was that last week he said, well, I've listened, and I'm going to make an announcement. It was almost like one of his reality TV shows, you know. Okay, Paris Accord, you're fired. You know, I mean, it had that kind of thing. That was very good, Mike. Yeah,
Mike.
But I mean, Judy, you're exactly right. This was not a surprise. It's the bigger picture, and it's a continuation of us withdrawing into an isolationist approach to the world. And the world's problems are the world's problems, and we're not going to worry about
them. And a greedy approach to the world.
You could certainly argue that.
Greedy for us. I mean, when you have the head of Goldman Sachs offering his first tweet of all times about how terrible this is. Goldman Sachs. Now, we know that, you know, the president and Goldman Sachs are not exactly disassociated by who he's put in his cabinet and what's happening. Mm-hmm. No, it's terrible. I'm sorry. I mean, you've given a very good précis, Mike, of the way it is. But it is really an awful thing. He has a climate denier in the top EPA position. It is something that if we're not careful, and the projections are correct, and I think they are in terms of, you know, how many inches, how many feet eventually are going to be happening as a result of this.
You mean on water level?
Yeah.
Sea levels.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay. As Jerry Brown said, you know, the governor of California, he said, you know, the coast of California, New York, Florida, New Orleans,
he was
Bangladesh,
great,
I mean, everywhere. You're going to see a rise in the seas that will be just costly in terms of human. It'll have human tolls. It'll have enormous financial tolls. And actually, I think Russia and China are secretly applauding this. We're stepping aside and letting them become the leaders. China is recommitting its support of the Paris Accord and says they'll honor it. Russia says they'll honor it. They're making us look like, you know.
What's to honor?
Yeah.
The fact is, we all committed voluntarily to do this. If you don't make it, you don't make it. And there are those people who think that Trump was doing everything he could to blow it all up anyway, and that we weren't going to make it because of all his executive orders. So.
Did you hear what Macron? Macron's the new
Macron,
president.
Macron, you mean?
Macron, the president of France, Macron. Gave a speech in English directed at the U.S. audience, and
He said, let's make our world great again.
Yeah, let's make the world great again. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's it. Now, Ray.
Sir.
This was not a treaty, right? The Paris Accord?
This was exactly. So a treaty would be binding in international courts, correct?
That's my understanding.
This is an agreement, if you will.
Right. And I think one of the points was that there was the thought that Obama could not have gotten this approved in the Senate. If it was a treaty, that this was one way to get the United States involved.
Well, but it was a good thing. People seemed to be adhering to it. China, by the way, they were showing stuff on television with the Chinese atmosphere. You couldn't see through it. You couldn't see your face. You know, I mean,
they're taking the lead now, huh? That's perfect.
Well, they need to do it anyway.
So it's very useful for them to be in favor of it.
But was that sardonic? I mean, it may have been.
Well, the new leader in climate control is the worst polluter in the world.
So what's wrong with them doing a turnaround? That's exactly why you did this kind of treaty, Raymond. That's why we wanted it.
Now you're talking like a professor,
and
I'm finding it annoying. You are never my professor, sir.
Well, this is appealing rhetoric. The fact is, we're not going to start using coal at a greater level. I mean, we're not going to reopen the coal mines. I think any realistic person knows that.
But they're sticking with them. They were interviewing people on NPR who were coal miners and saying, oh, well, we like him because at least he understands us.
What they should be doing is investing. The U.S. government should be investing in West Virginia and Kentucky and putting in solar factories. can't get them working in Buffalo, but maybe they could do it in
Somebody said this morning.
Never any sun in Buffalo.
Right.
Somebody said this morning, we're on sale at our big stores are going to be solar panels made in China.
Yeah, all right, we have to take a quick break here. Well, on account of the Brits.
Oh, okay.
We'll do BBC News.
Okay.
Again, we're giving in to foreigners.
You know what? It's a globalist program, and we'll go to the BBC. The email address here is panel@wamc.org. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on a beautiful Friday. It's just beautiful. Our email address here is panel@wamc.org. Ray Graff in for Joe today, and as we gear up for the fun drive, it's very exciting to have Mike Spain and Judy Patrick here, as well as Alan. And I know, Alan, you're gearing up. You'll get plenty of rest. The fun drive starts at 6 a.m. on Monday. It'll be me, and you're my sidekick, my trusted sidekick.
Yes, you're number two.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the Chester, and you're the Marshall Dillon.
And I have to say, on Sunday...
Come closer to the mic, sir.
Sunday in the afternoon, I'll be at the Mahawi.
What are you doing at the Mahawi?
I'm going to be interviewing none other than Paul Krugman before a BIFF, Berkshire International Film Festival audience.
Did he make a film?
No, but we're going to be playing all the President's Men first.
Ah.
And then we're going to have this, shortish interview with Nobel Prize winner Paul Krugman.
That's great.
Pulitzer Prize winner also. I think he's the only Pulitzer Prize, Nobel Prize winner.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
He's an economist.
His parents lived right across the street from us in Great Barrington.
Well, we don't.
They did. They don't anymore, but they did.
They don't live anymore?
No, I don't know about
that. And you're going to watch All the President's Men?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's great.
Great movie.
A great flick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the parking scenes.
Parking lot.
Well, we now know who Deep Throat was, of course.
Yes.
Is that his name?
Mark Felt.
Mark Felt.
Yes. And played in the movie by?
Linda Lovelace.
No.
No? Wrong actress? Sorry.
Never mind.
My apologies.
I'm trying to think of who it was.
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody will write. Okay.
Oh, someone's going to write.
I can see the guy. I just can't say his
name. We heard from Kenny, who says, you just said you will need 500,000 or 475K to reach a million if you reach the lockbox goal.
Wrong.
But you seem to be forgetting that the last time you decided to add an extra 133,000 to each fund drive to make up for the federal funds that you are losing with Trump's policies. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a plan, and it will be done. Don't worry about it. We have a plan. It's just a matter of, execution.
Okay, I don't even know about this plan, but I'm going with the flow.
Well, Nixon had a plan, and I have a plan.
Right.
Okay,
to get us out of Vietnam.
Are you comparing yourself to Nixon, sir?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Get Haldeman on the phone.
I've been called everything. Just recently, somebody called me the
Fire Island Napoleon?
The Fire Island Napoleon.
Greatest thing I've seen written today.
You just see the smile on Ray's face.
Fire Island Napoleon.
Jimmy, I have to get my arm out of my shirt. Okay. Roger says, in one fell swoop, saying others won't laugh at us, etc., Trump has set back American optimism, credibility, reliability that will be very difficult to regain. Such arrogance, mixed signals on a nearly daily basis are remarkably similar to 1984 or Kafka. Kafka always knew. To abandon the Paris Accords rivals the invasion of Iraq as the dumbest thing a president has ever done, and that's from Roger in Utica.
Good to hear from Utica.
It is indeed. Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. I heard this morning that the Russians issued a statement saying that the agreement wouldn't stand without the Americans. Did he do it so that he could get out of it? Whatever the reason, it's disgusting. And that's Aishu from Cairo.
Great to hear from Cairo.
Cairo. It's great.
Yeah.
It's not Cairo. It's Cairo.
Yeah, down in
I know where it is.
In the Catskills.
Yeah.
But that is one of the issues, is whether or not once the U.S. withdraws, whether other people say, okay, well, they're not going to do it, we're not going to do it.
Well, so far they're saying they're not going to. They see an advantage here. And let's just say the congressional elections go the other way with the Democrats the next time out. And what happens then? I mean, there'll be a lot of pressure. Trump said in somewhat obscure language that he was open to negotiating something with the Democrats.
Well, he kind of said it cynically. If they don't want to cooperate, we'd like to cooperate.
With the obstructionists, and then, with the Democrats. I believe that's what he said yesterday as I was driving home.
Wow. And Diane says, it looks like Kushner is out and Bannon's back in charge. It does indeed. It does indeed. I agree with that.
I think it's an ebb and flow. Yeah, we'll watch more of it.
Who's he? Ebb and flow.
Ebb and flow, right. Ebb and flow.
Okay, so.
Hearing at the Linda.
Gerard says, hi, panel. What can be done to help the people who have lost their jobs? This seems to always be the reason to back out of our commitments around the world. Many people will never fit into the new economy. Jerry from Rhinebeck, but you know, that's what we should be paying attention to. Obviously, we have a government, and the government should be figuring out ways in which displaced people can earn a living.
Right. It's a challenge for our education system to do this. It's for our business people. And that's one of the things I think that the American economy is moving towards. But there are people being left behind.
And to say nothing of the fact that we are already meeting our voluntary goals all over the place.
Yeah, there's some argument that America will still, even without the formal acceptance by the White House of this accord, that what's happening in the United States with states like New York and California and Maine and Washington State are leading the way, and other efforts by industry and industry leaders to reduce carbon emissions, we will de facto meet the standards or come close to it.
My memory is admittedly fuzzy, but at the end of a Bush 1 administration, did he not pull us out of the Kyoto Accords?
We never signed.
I think there was an agreement in principle
in 92,
prior
right
to
before
that.
He left. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then it didn't happen.
And so we still went down, I think, 18%. I mean, we still made quite a lot of gains.
Right, we went
as
down on
as
our
as
own, and it had so our refusal or our declining to formally approve it did not have a major impact on it. It still achieved its goals because we were in the same direction. You know, in a way, you could argue Trump said that. We're going to continue to try to make America clean and protect clean air and clean water.
With the coal. With the coal he wants to inject right back into the
economy.
Well,
you know, that's one of the alternative realities that Donald Trump says. He says a lot of things that he says. When he says them, he knows they're not true. And I think when people hear them, they know it's not true. Like, I'm going to reopen the coal mines, things like that. But people like to hear it.
But you don't want to excuse him for saying terrible lies.
I'm just trying to be straight about it.
That's why we love you.
Yes, right. I mean, he says things that he really means, and he says stuff that just kind of is throwing red meat at the audience.
So being able
to distinguish between the two is sometimes difficult.
So I'm not sure what you're trying to get at here.
I'm saying that while he says that he wants to reopen the coal mines or, you know, put coal miners back to work, he also is pledging to keep America on a clean energy, direction.
So either way, one way or the other, he's lying, right?
Well, there's contradictions in what he says.
Yes.
So a lie is probably a strong way of describing that. I think a lot of politicians say things that contradict other things that they say.
Well, I don't know, Mike. You know, the idea that he wants to put coal back and he wants to burn coal and he wants that is terrible. It's just awful. It's awful for your grandchildren and my grandchildren. And it really is exactly the wrong thing. Here's a 70-year-old man who doesn't seem to give a damn about anything except winning the next election, listening to that monster Bannon.
So there are a lot of people out there despondent about this decision by President Trump, but we should keep in mind that in the United States, a lot of the regulation over pollution is done at the state level.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
Andrew Cuomo has said that New York State is going to continue on its course to reduce its pollution, and it has an energy plan there.
Michael Bloomberg.
The guy in the state of Washington is doing this as well. So When it comes down to real things, a lot of this happens at the state level. There is an EPA, but as we've seen, the president is proposing to diminish the role the EPA plays anyway.
And so, to appoint a guy heading it who has no business whatsoever running it.
Well,
let's call it like it is here, Judy.
EPA head, is far less interested in regulating. It's true. But as someone who, as a local newspaper covering issues, we find that it's the state that is far more involved in regulations than the EPA. They drop in when there's something big.
But symbolically.
Symbolically, I agree.
Yeah, to select someone like Scott Pruitt to head the EPA, who has questioned the whole issue of climate change and questioned the science about it, does make a statement. But you're right, Judy. I mean, you know, the states have an enormous stake in this, and they will become the leaders in this if the EPA.
What about the states that don't become the leaders?
Well, but the big populated states. I mean, most of the big populated states are on board on this, or have reasonable standards that they're following, even some of the southern states. But, you know,
I want to reiterate one more time, and no fooling around about this, that the fact that the president has seen symbolically to pull out of something that the whole world is in is really degenerate. It's just degenerate.
Right, but he's doing it for domestic political reasons.
So
it's important to remember that. And presidents have terms of office, and there'll be other presidents. And I think the smart world leaders realize that this could just be a temporary thing, and we just have to kind of play it as it goes.
Yeah, and maybe this president isn't being taken seriously in the around
could
the world.
Could that be?
But Judy, is that good? I mean,
saying it's good.
Oh, not at all. I agree with you. It's not good.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Let's find out what our listeners think. The email address is panel@wamc.org. Panel@wamc.org. That's always a good thing to do, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And while you're making that email, you go to WAMC.org, you kick in the lockbox.
I hope somebody up front will give us the latest total.
Well, that's a great idea.
Fast as possible.
Tell you what, Chief.
Okay.
Island Napoleon. We'll take a quick break for underwriting, and then we'll find out where we're at in the old.
I just want to say one thing. Hal Holbrook played Mark Felt. He was the guy
in right.
Strange
oh,
Coat
yeah.
so inside the parking garage.
My original
and all
memory
the
of the film was incorrect. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. It's the Roundtable on WAMC. Yeah, it's the greatest thing. Oh, we're on. Yeah, it's the Roundtable, WAMC, 9:46 on a Friday morning. Beautiful Friday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, along with Mike Spain, Judy Patrick, and Alan. Yeah, we're just saying in the break that the new Sgt. Pepper remix is it's one of the greatest things I've ever heard. I got it on Friday. It came, and wife and I sat down and listened to a couple minutes of it while we were getting the dinner ready. Ended up listening to the whole. We couldn't stop. That's how good it is.
You have made my Friday.
Well, yeah, do you have it?
No.
I don't even know about it.
It's amazing.
We're excited.
It's amazing. It's like hearing the album. I listened to that album a billion times since I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's like you know it from start to end.
You don't know
right,
it until you hear this.
Not only
it's
that,
amazing.
So what happened is, you know, as you said yesterday, instead of being just four track, they can...
Okay. Did we talk about this on the radio yesterday?
I believe it was 16-track or something like that.
They recorded everything in 4-track.
Oh, 4-track.
They had 4-track Ampex tape decks, and what they would do is, it's a complicated record, so they would record 4 tracks and then dump it down to 1 and then record 4 more tracks.
But those tracks all still exist.
Right, and so they went back. Giles Martin, George Martin's son, went back, and it's...
Sir George Martin.
Let me tell you something. That is fraught with danger if you're an engineer and you're going back to remix Sgt. Pepper's. But he went back to the original 4 tracks, I assume dumped it into digital multi-track.
He did. I heard him.
And it's one of the greatest sounding things I've ever heard.
Well, that's a remarkable
Get a good
thing.
Set of loudspeakers and a nice
amplifier.
Did you
get
amplifier.
A CD of it?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, one of those where you actually like physically hold something.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. But we're off track. The email address is panel@wamc.org.
16-track.
WAMC.org. And Alan, you have some email here.
Okay, I'll read this one because I know you'll get a kick out of it. This is from John. Good morning, panel.
Good
Just
morning.
Wanted to thank Ray for his stellar work filling in for Joe.
Well, thank you.
Ray is the voice of the true moderate on the panel. We of rural New York want more people like him representing us. Cheers erupt all over the listening area every time he stands up to the Fire Island Napoleon.
I love it.
Finally motivated to help fill the lockbox.
But in fairness, I think Judy and Mike are also pretty moderate as well.
I do. I do. Yeah.
We try to walk the line.
Yeah, like Johnny. Brian said, the panel needs someone with some sort of business or economic credentials on this program. The stock market did not shoot up yesterday. The Dow was up.
And futures are up slightly this morning.
I thought it was 122.
I thought it hit a record high.
This is considered a flat day. This reminds me of when Rosemary didn't know the difference between the net worth and annual earnings when discussing Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton last year. You can do better.
Right. I know that people are just looking at their portfolio and they're happy today.
But also you get an idea of who majored in what. You know, you imagine what you shouldn't say isn't, you should say this or that. You know, if you're a mental health person, somebody says, this is nuts, this whole thing is nuts. Please do not disparage mental health by saying, this is nuts. You can't, in other words, everybody who has a college degree in a particular substantive area writes on their area, don't you see?
And I think the point was that the business community or the stock market did react favorably to President Trump's decision.
Yeah, right, futures are up a bit. I see S&P is down a little bit at this time.
Well, there's some employment numbers that came out today that were just kind of so
flattish.
Yeah.
We gained 136,000 jobs.
Which isn't that many. And a lot left the... Well, I mean, that's the whole point. The stock market reacts very quickly to snippets of news. And the snippet yesterday, or this more than snippet, was the Paris Accord speech in the White House, at the White House. And the stock market did go up after that.
Michael says, good morning, panel.
Good morning.
He now owns it. Trumple warning. Mike from Lunch.
Trumple warming.
Climate change will affect all in this country. Trump has had a chance to remake himself as a leader of all this country through the beginning stages of this world's next big crisis. Instead, he will corral a smaller herd and lead them in their greed-inspired endeavors. Bob Ben said, as I was listening to leaders, nauseating assertions and blatant lies in his, to the leaders, there's supposed to be an apostrophe in there, nauseating assertions and blatant lies in his climate speech yesterday, I was thinking how our trading partners would feel about the tirade. Turns out that many of them now are condemning the leader's position on this and will be looking more and more to each other and not to the United States to do business with. This should add to the growing list of people who will be distancing themselves from the leader, capital L. Good morning, panel. What does the word six mass extinction mean to you? Thanks for all you do. Anybody get it? You get it?
There have been five mass extinctions.
Oh, I see.
Many of them asteroid-related.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. That's from Mike.
Coming.
Okay. Our friend Mike. We know him well.
Thanks, Mike.
Lori says, I may have missed all of this, but I wonder whether the VP has expressed opinion about this Paris climate debacle.
He's down with it.
I'm inclined to agree with Professor Mirapol that difficult as it is to stomach, we are better off with Trump shudder than Pence. Would Pence have made some of the same dreadful decisions that Trump had?
Well, you may get your wish anyway.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the Russian stories today, have we?
why don't we just take a second to do that? Mike, what's up?
Well, I mean, the newest story is from the Washington Post this morning that says that the Russian bank that Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of President Trump, President-elect Trump, back in December, was having conversations with them. And the White House explains that as Kushner seeking a back diplomatic channel so the White House or the incoming Trump administration could communicate directly with the Kremlin without the current administration, the Obama administration, knowing about it. And that would be to foster better relations with Russia. And who wouldn't want better relations with Russia? But the bank itself is putting out a very different explanation of that. They're saying that the whole reason the meeting was held between the bank's chief executive and Jared Kushner was to improve the business interests of the Trump real estate empire. And Kushner was there representing the Trump real estate empire, and that it had nothing to do with diplomacy. So it's just another...
Now, one of those guys, Mike, I think, was a former banker, was also a spy at one point.
Right. He was trained as in
spy school.
Right.
Spy school.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they call it spy school. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the their version is directly contradicting what the White House is saying. There was already scrutiny on this discussion because you're supposed to have one presidential administration at a time. And Kushner was negotiating with a foreign power, according to the White House, before he had any official role in government and before President Trump had been inaugurated. And that is not supposed to happen. Under our Constitution, we have one administration at a time and one president at a time. So it's just, you know, that all leads up to next week's testimony by James Comey, the former FBI director, which is going to be Thursday, and that'll be much watched. Will WAMC be airing that?
Way to throw us under the bus, Mike. Yeah. No, I don't know. Is NPR covering it?
No. If NPR is covering it, I'm sure we'll do something.
And,
yeah,
and so it's likely, hopefully, that you'll.
I think if they air it and we're done with the drive, then we'll cover it.
Oh yeah,
right. I mean,
good decision.
And
thank you.
There's just a lot of heat, a lot of pressure, and I think that was part of the timing of the the Paris Accord speech yesterday. It's a distraction from this. It's letting Trump speak to his base and repeat a lot of his rhetoric. As you were saying, Judy, it sounded a lot like his inaugural speech, and it kept the attention away from the Russian thing, but. It's like unpeeling the onion. You said you were watching you're going to see all the president's men over at the Mahawi on Sunday. I mean, that's what it was. It was the unpeeling of the onion. It was the Washington Post and the New York Times and others every day coming out with one more increment that really uncovers what's happening. And it's all going to come out, and it's going to be fascinating, I think. We're in a fascinating time.
It could, because the larger view for some people who are trying to approach this deductively as opposed to inductively, taking what we see and then sort of parsing the pieces in all of this, is that from the very beginning, the president of the United States was the future president of the United States was making noises about how wonderful Putin was and how great the Russians were. And then this comes along, and then one kid says, yeah, well, you know, we got lots of money from them to do our stuff. So are we to believe that everybody around the president, including his son-in-law, were playing patsy with the – or footsie with the Russians, and that the only one who wasn't was the president? Extraordinary.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Putin is conceding that maybe somebody from Russia was involved.
Yes.
But it was a patriot.
That was in the New York Times.
It was a beautiful story. People wake up in the morning and they feel good, so they paint. But if you're a hacker, you wake up in the morning, and if you're patriotic, you're going to hack the U.S.
So the headline is, maybe private Russian hackers meddled in election, Putin says. And then the first paragraph of the Andrew Higgins piece in the New York Times. Shifting from his previous blanket denials, President Vladimir Putin of Russia suggested on Thursday that patriotically minded private Russian hackers could have been involved in cyber attacks last year that meddled in the United States presidential election. He said, hackers are like artists who choose their targets depending on how they feel when they wake up in the morning. How wistful.
Joel says, Republicans, which is it about the Paris Accords? Are they unworkable or are they a hoax? Which is their least cynical way of stonewalling climate change progress? Wow. And, Lux. I applaud the other world leaders for refusing to allow the Paris Accord to be renegotiated. I believe they are thwarting a pathetic PR stunt by Trump to appear as a hero acting in the U.S. interest. It's a smokescreen. We in the U.S., citizens need to stop believing that we are the best of everything in the world. We are lagging behind because of our hubris, world ignorance. We are isolated and rarely look to others as positive health care, education, marijuana. Voters who believe in him are already incredibly isolated intellectually. Joe says Trump's brain seems to be locked into that of an old industrialist. He would have made a good robber baron. Patrick says, I just have to say, although I love everyone on the round table panel, it's always a treat to have Ray. He always adds a certain je ne sais quoi.
Ah, that's French. The Paris Accord, huh?
Bring on the next one day fun drive.
Yes, indeed. And that's Monday at 6 a.m. The fun drive begins. I'll be there, and my sidekick Alan will be there.
Yeah,
and we'll be raising money for this radio station. And you can do, if you don't want to hear that, and who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't want to hear that?
Don't you know that you're risking the possibility that people are holding back on giving because they just enjoy the back and forth?
Well, no, there are people who do that.
Yeah.
There are people who do that. There are people, I hate to say it because I don't want to
I think they're drunk, but there are those.
I don't want to hurt anybody.
So a couple hours. You could hear a couple hours.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, yes. but there's some people who give you money in the lockbox, and then because the station is so important, and it is important, make no mistake about it, give you money in the fund drive.
The email address here is panel@wamc.org. The web address, if you want to kick into the lockbox right now, is wamc.org. Yeah, the panel continues, and we'll talk about music and whatever in the break, and then we'll come back and we'll be very serious right after the news. Thank you. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC on this beautiful Friday morning, 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. Ray Graff with you, in for Joe Donahue. Also on the panel today, it's Mike Spain from the Times Union and Judy Patrick from the Daily Gazette. And our own bon vivant, Alan Chartok, is here with us. And if you can feel the anticipation, you feel the excitement, frankly, the terror. The fun drive is beginning Monday at 6 a.m.
That's right.
Right over in the performance studio.
I never ever sleep the night
period.
Before a fun drive. Yeah, well, period, but yeah. Before. Okay, so here's what. We now need, we started at, 473, something like
I
that?
I have no idea where we started
473, today. 073-055. We now need $481,598 to go. That's about $18,000, right?
Oh, wait a minute, hold it.
You've reached 481,598. That's how much you've raised is in the lockbox right now, and somebody's got to do some math.
So we need about 18,840 some odd dollars.
18,500 roughly.
Well, that's what I said. So we could do it in this next half an hour if everybody just got going and said, okay, I just want to remind everybody, 400,000 monthly listeners, individual monthly listeners to WAMC, less than 20,000 members. Let's just do it now, folks. If you love it, if you hate it, whatever. It's you're listening to it, just do something. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org, which is the preferred way, WAMC.org, and just that's the way to do it,
so
right?
So why exactly do we need the $18,500 right now?
To get to the $500,000 point in the lockbox. Thank you. Thank you, Ray. I know you were confused about that. And put to get to the $500,000 mark in the fund drive, and we get $25,000 extra from the Spitzer Foundation.
So do you mean to say that if we accomplish that over the weekend and we get...
Over the weekend, now, in the next half hour.
Okay, but if we get the extra $25,000, we will start the fund drive on air drive Monday morning at 6 with... $475,000 to go in the entire fund drive.
May we?
You know, Alan doesn't usually get sad about this, but when he first saw that number and saw that you hadn't reached the number, he said, nobody cares. And now he's bounced back a little bit. He's a little bit depressed for a minute.
Well, mainly our job is propping up Alan's spirits here at the station. The email address is panel
I'm old. I need work.
Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org if you want to complain. The Trump administration has asked the Supreme Court to immediately reinstate its ban on travelers from six mostly Muslim countries and refugees from anywhere in the world, saying the U.S. will be a safer place if the policy is put in place. The Justice Department, filing to the High Court late yesterday, argued that lower courts that blocked the Trump policy made several mistakes, including relying on statements President Trump made during the 2016 campaign. The legal fight pits the president's significant authority over immigration against what lower courts have said is a policy that purported to be about national security but was intended to target Muslims.
Okay, I want to answer that. If you call right now, we'll give you a big red mug. You see it?
Very nice.
Big red mug with a WMC logo on it and only in the next, 22 minutes, and two tickets outside on the lawn at Tanglewood.
Undated lawn tickets.
Undated lawn tickets.
For the BSO or Boston Pops.
You do not have to bring a date.
And that answers the...
That had nothing to do with the Supreme Court.
I only wanted to raise that because I needed to get this money.
I'm sorry. Did I jump the gun on the topic? I apologize.
Not at all.
I was going to say, Ray,
yes,
that a U.S. Court of Appeals in Virginia actually concluded that the president had acted in bad faith with religious animus when, after consulting with three members of his cabinet, he put that pause on the entry from six countries and it made it seem like it was presented to... prevent terrorism.
Now, was this the original or the amended?
Yeah, I think that refers to the amended. I mean, basically, they're doing as you said. They're looking back at statements he made, not in relationship to the ban directly, and statements the White House is making defending the ban. They're using a legalistic argument saying that it's the president's prerogative to make the country
which
safe.
Which I believe is
right.
Fairly well set precedent.
Right. And the court is looking back at statements he made during the campaign, where he said he was going to keep Muslims out of the country. And that is the question the Supreme Court would likely have to consider, is whether his comments outside of the legal case are pertinent in deciding whether he's speaking honestly or if he's just has another motive.
Judy, did you get a chance to watch the initial court, the Ninth Circuit court hearing on this, on the initial travel ban? And basically, the government saying, look, you can't take what somebody says prior to being president. People say a lot of things.
I mean,
they're
speaking to motive. I mean, they're speaking to his motive, not to what he actually said.
Right. I didn't actually. I heard some of it, but I didn't watch the whole thing. But it is this idea of context, and you do find that courts do try to find some context. The appeal to the Supreme Court was very expected. I mean, I think President Trump mentioned that the first time was rejected.
But, and we'll have to see, right, Judy, what our newest Supreme Court member, Gorsuch, has to say.
Yeah, indeed. And if they'll even...
If they'll take it. Yeah. If they don't take it, it will affirm the lower court decisions, and that will stand, and it will keep the ban permanent, or essentially...
But, Ray, to answer your question, the guy goes around, and he says... You know, basically, this is Muslims, and we don't want Muslims in this country. And then does a follow-up. Of course the court should consider that, what he has been saying all along during the campaign.
Well, that's what the Ninth Circuit Court said. And the district court that you mentioned, Mike, and I forget, was it the fourth?
A circuit court in Virginia, I believe. Okay. Yeah, fourth circuit court.
I think one of the decisions says it was dripping with bias or animosity. So the action was very clear. But the Trump administration thinks they have a strong case. The fact that you can't bring in these extra comments, what's said on the campaign trail really isn't true.
And they probably think they have a strong Supreme Court in their favor.
They do. Time will tell.
Time will indeed tell. The email address here is panel@wamc.org. Mike Spain from the Times Union is here. Judy Patrick from the Daily Gazette. And our own Alan Shartok here. He's the letter reader on the program.
And he's got a pile of letters.
I am. It's quite a pile of letters. I'm going to go fast. Here's a worthy distraction. Happy National Donut Day, panel. Enjoy the weekend.
Judy, you mentioned this. I didn't believe you.
I stay on top of
these. She's way ahead of
this. This is a happy day.
Kathy says, the Russia meeting was all about money. Money for Jared's businesses. Money for the election. Paybacks for electioneering. It's all about money. And, oh, by the way, if you think this administration is interested in Israel for religious or moral or ethical reasons, follow that money too. Jim says the response to yesterday's announcement is as irrational and hysterical as it was predictable. America will continue towards clean energy future regardless, and probably more effectively and honestly than many of the other 190 countries. There you go, from Jim. Why can't any no abbreviations, by the way?
Yeah, try not to abbreviate.
David says why can't individual states, United States, join the Paris Accord? If yes, let's get it going here in New York and Massachusetts. And that's from David. Michael says, I'm horrified that we've been unceremoniously pulled out of the Paris Agreement. We need to think of the future of our children and the planet. However, people like Elon Musk are a two-faced joke. On the one hand, he wants to make the world greener with his electric car. And on the other hand, his self-driving vehicles stand to put cab and truck drivers like me out of a job, all while taking billions from the taxpayers. We need better options than him. P.S. I've just donated a lockbox. It's not much. But like Alan says, every little bit helps.
That's great.
That's from Mike. And Richard says, the United States has given up its leadership role in the world. Trump is moving our nation in an isolationist direction. Isolationism doesn't seem practical in the internet age. And Julia says, Trump must have set a record for alternative facts in the withdrawal speech yesterday. The air temperature over the Rose Garden must have risen by at least 10 degrees centigrade. By the way, all he said was that America was concerned about the environment. He didn't say anything about making it green, and that's from Jules. And Catherine says, the EPA is so much more than just being a regulator. It's a collector, funder, and promoter of critical research. And Mark says, espousing a plant-based diet is something we can all do. If not at once, each increment can help. Talk it up often. Mark from West Hurley.
You're a vegetarian, right?
No, I don't really, basically, I don't eat red meat. And I don't believe, and I don't really believe in killing animals to eat. And I know that the people up front will give us the latest total right now. Okay. And Keith said, Alan is 100% correct. Scott Pruitt has no business being the director of the EPA. His interview yesterday with Jake Tapper on CNN was a perfect example of his contempt for his job. The director of the EPA did not mention the word environment once during his five-minute interview. The word environmental is part of his job title. And that's from Keith. Ray, I hope you were listening to that IP on a nice tube amp. Sergeant Pepper.
I got an old Sony from the 70s, big old receiver, and it's terrific, but Don't have the tube stuff yet. Want to think about it. Thinking about it.
Father's Day coming up.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. We'll spend $9,000 on the Macintosh. That'll be great.
Anne says, but I don't want to start up. But you know, Mother's Day is so much more of an important holiday in America than Father's Day.
That's why I mentioned Father's Day.
They're both made up, and neither one should happen. Every day is Mother's Day. Mother's Day should be the day, the birthday of the children. The children should give the mother parent presents on Mother's Day.
I stand by my insistence that Mother's Day is a far more important holiday than Father's Day.
Both of them are a joke. Mothers are important. They should get Mother's gifts Day. On the day of the birth of the children.
Mother's Day is not a joke. Okay, Anne says, this president is reckless. We are a laughingstock in the world. I think it's irresponsible of the Republicans not to speak up and stand up to him. Shame on them. People need to keep speaking out. Thank you for everyone who does, and those that support them. Thank you, WAMC. And that's from Annie in West Stockbridge. Okay.
Try not to hit the microphone with the paper.
Did I hit it?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, man, you guys are starting early.
You know what? I think you're right. We're gearing up for the fun drive, and it's only going to be one day.
Well, okay.
Usually it's day three the fights begin.
Now that I've been demoted to his
my
deputy.
Somewhat lovable sidekick.
Sidekick, right. Yeah. Okay, Cisco. When the history books are written, they will say how America's move away from the world power started with the election of Donald Trump. Future generations, if they survive the climate change, will seriously question our decisions as we question the actions of our predecessors. Making my lockbox donation today, wishing you a short drive.
Thank you for that.
And I know the people up front were going to give us the new figure very quickly.
Okay.
And Andrew, I would urge you and the panel not to be distracted by this climate accord red herring that's obviously being used to deflect from the damning evidence stacking up that the Trump campaign did indeed collude with the Russians. Okay, and then he goes on. But
those investigations continue every minute. Comey is appearing, I believe, Thursday, and if it'll be open, right? That's an open hearing?
Yeah, it's supposed to be in public. At this point, the White House, there's some speculation the White House might try to stop it.
May pull executive privilege.
Wouldn't that look very bad? Wouldn't the optics be very bad?
What doesn't look bad already?
Yes, Ray.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Linda says, one caveat that may give hope, the Paris Agreement entered into force on November 4th, 2016. So this means the U.S. would have to stay with it until November 2019.
And that is correct.
That's right.
Okay. Mark says, your panel offers the most civilized political conversation I've found these days, and your lockbox fundraising is positively painless compared to the other stations I support. Worth the effort to tune in from Maryland. How about that?
How about that?
Okay.
Well, I'll be darned.
And there it is. And that's from Mark. Thank you, Mark. We love having you with us. Okay. Another Mark. I am 60 years old, but I've never been so concerned about the future of our country. The issues just keep piling up, and like me, so many Americans are concerned about the real damage Trump is causing. I worry that by the time our system and investigations catch up with him, it will be too
terrific.
Late.
Yeah. Terrific. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And dear panel, states can't protect themselves from global warming. EPA's job is to regulate interstate air pollution. More than 80% of the acid rain harming the Adirondacks comes from other states. Climate warming pollutants can't be controlled effectively by the states either. And that's from John Sheehan, our great friend from the Adirondack Council. And I have to say, he's right. But at least we have something going and some resistance here, in my opinion. And George says, good morning, panel. I recently read a report in the New York Observer that the NSA chief admitted in an all-employee meeting that key members of the Trump campaign discussed with the Russians methods of damaging Hillary Clinton. Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, it's certainly been speculated, but it hasn't been documented yet.
So we still don't have the total where we're at.
They're very busy in the front
maybe
office.
Maybe they're taking calls, old boy.
In the front office, they're very busy coming up with that.
By the way, some great news. We saw it in the Times Union. I wanted to see our local editors talk about this briefly. The EPA says Hudson PCB cleanup shows improvement. More studies still needed. That's good news, yeah?
Well, a lot of people, a lot of organizations, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, Hudson River groups, and communities had wanted the Environmental Protection Agency, the U.S. Department of Environmental Protection, that is headed by Scott Pruitt right now, wanted them to come out with a report that says that the continued monitoring of the Hudson River is indicating that more dredging is necessary, and they want to hold GE, General Electric Company, which poured for 20, 30 years PCBs into the Hudson River from its plant in Fort Edward. They wanted them to be held accountable and perhaps compelled to do more dredging and cleanup of the Hudson River. Of course, GE spent billions to clean up the stretch from Fort Edward down to just above Troy. And now there's concern that PCBs exist far south of Troy, down the Hudson Valley into the fishery areas. Yeah, at rates that are still dangerous. And so this report that came out yesterday says, let's wait and see. That's, they're not ready to compel GE to go back and start dredging. Let's continue to monitor it. But the estimate that it will be 55 years, perhaps, before you can safely do commercial fishing in the Hudson River again. Back in the 70s, that was banned because of PCBs. Striped bass was a big business, in New York State and in the Hudson Valley. And that ended. Yes,
well, Pete said that we're swimming in the Hudson again. Not me. I don't. So let me see if I get this argument correct from you, Mike. That is, there's less now than there was more. But would you drink it or would you eat the fish? Probably not, right? Because more, less is not the same as none. And none is what you want.
Well, ideally, it would be none. And there's only one place that the PCBs came from, and that's why a lot of groups say that General Electric Company should not be set free. Now, a spokesman for GE says that this means that our job is complete and we're done.
Of course, that's what they
And that saying. Argument is not over. There's still going to be groups like New York State, the Hudson River organizations who are going to have the option to take them to court and to try to compel them to do more cleanup. But for now, the EPA is saying, let's just keep monitoring.
And what do you think, Judy?
Well, you're seeing a clear difference of opinion between the federal EPA and the State Department of Environmental Conservation. EPA saying, well, everything seems to be on track. We're going to just let this, we're going to keep monitoring it. And the state is saying, no, we want more done. We want more study, and we think it needs to be dredged some more. Who's responsible for cleaning it is up to GE, I think, is saying state is can go ahead and dredge if they like, but that would be on the state taxpayers to do.
I get it.
I mean, people recreationally fish the Hudson. Now they have to throw it back. I think they can eat
you can
one
eat once a month or
once
something
every
like
couple
that.
Of
would
months.
You do it?
I had a little striped bass a few years ago. It was quite tasty.
You can have one.
Caught it myself in the Hudson River.
The PCBs enhance, like salt, it enhances the flavor.
Right, that's funny.
But people do eat that fish out of the river, and that was one of the reasons they thought it was so imperative to dredge.
That's right.
Right, but you can't do commercial fishing anymore. That was banned in the 70s because of the PCB content.
Are there a lot of striped bass in the river now?
Oh, it's rich with striped bass. Yeah. You know, different years. They come up as far as the Troy Dam to feed and then to spawn. And then they go back out to the Hudson River, out to the ocean.
Yeah. Well, this was an interesting turn here. We had a nice little chat about spawning.
Always love
spawning
talking
bass.
About fishing.
Appreciate that very much. Judy Patrick, thank you very much. And it was nice of you coming on short notice.
Always glad to do it.
You are great, Judy.
Michael Spain, he didn't call you Mikey once in the entire hour.
No.
Not till now.
Mikey. Little Mikey. And good luck over at the Knickerbocker News. And Alan Shartok, thanks so much. I look forward to seeing you Monday at 6 a.m.
Yes, we will be there. And I look
How much money will you be raising?
Well, we don't know exactly. But it'll be substantial.
Somewhere around $475.
You join us for the fun drive. And you can always kick in the lockbox now, WAMC.org.